A very good morning to you, my dear listener. It's a Wednesday morning. How are you doing wherever you find yourself this morning? So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM and thanks to Early Morning Scoop. As always, they keep us informed of what is going on. What is going on in the country and around the world. They keep us updated with all the news and updates. Thanks for that. And also, if you're on your way to work, please make sure that you buckle up and you follow the traffic rules. You know, I'm saying this because I came rushing actually. So yeah, make sure that you follow the traffic rules you obey the traffic rules, and also make it a habit that every time before you get into your car, you check everything, your tires, your indicators, your seatbelt, you know. Yeah, make sure that, you know, you're quite safe when you're driving. So, good morning to you. My name is Michael Chavelli, and you are tuned in to Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking, it's about you. Share your thoughts, opinions, and perspectives on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 35 minutes past the hour of 7. And today is the 25th of June. The year is 2025. So let's get to our segment of On This Day in Africa. What happened on these days in Africa? So, Mozambique, on the 25th of June, 1975, the Mozambique, gains independence, after nearly five centuries under Portuguese colonial rule, became independent, led by Frelimo, Samora Machel. However, independence swiftly led to civil war when Renamo, backed by the apartheid South Africa, began a brutal conflict lasting for 15 years. So this date marked a major milestone in Africa's struggle against colonialism and was a significant step towards self-determination and nation-building for Mozambique. And today, June 25th, is also recognized as the day of the seafarer. The seafarer, you know, it's a day for the seafarer, which celebrate the contribution of seafarers to global trade and the economy, including those from Africa, maritime communities. So the seafarers, happy day, seafarer, if I can say that. Let's wish our, you know, maritime, you know, communities, a happy day for them. And, today we even have got, our first item is about, you know, it's about fish. So it's just so appropriate. So yeah, that's what we have, today in this segment on this day in Africa. So yeah, Wednesday, June the 25th, the thought for the day. The hyena chasing two gazelles at the same time will go to bed hungry. The hyena chasing two gazelles at the same time will go to bed. Will go to bed hungry. Now, this proverb is a powerful African saying that offers a timeless lesson. Actually, it offers a timeless lesson trying to pursue multiple, it's saying trying to pursue multiple things at once often result in achieving none. So just as the hyena has to split its focus, so across two gazelles, we too can spread ourselves too thin, juggling two goals often means achieving neither. So it's a reminder to pick a single target, but your best effort into it. Put your best effort into it and follow through rather than divide your energy. So now this is whether it is balancing career paths, personal projects or business ventures, spreading yourself too wide can lead to a burnout or underperformance. So yeah. So what did this remind us? As I said, it's reminding us to pick a single target, put your best effort into it, and follow through rather than divide your energy. So that's our thought for the day. The hyena chasing two gazelles at the same time will go to bed hungry. All right. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and we are live on Unpacking the Day. So, and thanks for joining us. As I always said, it's always our pleasure being in your company. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company today. So for those who we are not probably available through the radios, so you can download the mobile app. And you can listen through our mobile app, Eagle FM mobile app, and also through the website. So today is Monday, and stay informed on business, economics, and politics at the same times, and by getting your digital copy of The Villager. Today is Wednesday. What is wrong with me? Sorry. Yeah, today is Wednesday. So please get your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And all you need to do is send your name and email via WhatsApp to 081-200-4144. So, and as I always said, you don't pay anything. This is absolutely for free, and you will be able to stay informed on business, on economics and policy and politics update every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, well, do engage us on our active social media platform. And also our apps, Imba and Eagle FM. This make it very simple to promote your product and services to wide audience on those applications as well. So, well, stay informed, stay connected, and stay ahead with us, Eagle FM and our extended media facilities. So, stay tuned. We will be back to get into our first item on the show. Good morning.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chika oshafasa nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. aanangeshefa yaNamibia ompito ombwanawa olondjika. Tseyitha nena omayakulo niilandithomwa yoye yongeshefa yoye okupitila mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoye tu ende tu imemeha uuka kombaanga nena. Kara omukwashipaleki gwimwepo yomooprograma dhetu. Moambo dhengela Selma konola 81 33 65 ONH. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, a very good morning to you. And this is Eagle FM. You are tuned in Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So where we talk about what is shaping our nations. This is the platform. So it is Wednesday, June the 25th, 2025, and we have got a hot topic on the table, on the menu. So Namibia's fishing industry and the tricky issue of Pichat Bay catch, or Mid Bay catch. So grab your coffee, something that is hot because it's actually cold. So grab your coffee, grab your tea, and pull up a chair, and let's dive in. Good morning to you. If you're just joining us, wherever you're joining us from, you're most welcome. So this is a story from an article in today's edition of The Villager. You know what I told you earlier on, that subscribe to The Villager. So that you'll be receiving every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, a copy of The Villager, sent to you for free, for mahala. You do absolutely nothing. And every Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you'll be sent, the copy of The Villager. So, it's a story in today's edition of The Villager titled Bay Catch Threaten Pichat Recovery. And that story is by, it's written by Nino Menmavari Erastus. So that's the story that we gonna look at. I think this story is a big deal in a way that because Namibia's fishing industry is a cornerstone of our economy, and Pichat, those small silvery fish, you know, you might know as sardines, you know, they are at the heart of a heated debate. So in the parliament. So the article highlights concerns raised by the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Fisheries, Inge Dhamwani, about how international bay catch of pichat is messing with their recovery. So, and if that is the case, it is also messing with our jobs. It's also messing with our food security. And definitely, Namibia plays in the global market. So that's why I said this is actually a big deal, because that's about our jobs, our food security, and our revenue. The country's revenue when it comes to, you know, these natural resources. Yeah. So let's unpack this. And what is the big picture here? And why should maybe the things that we need to ask, as I always, for you to make sense of what we're talking about. Why should we care? Why should we care? So that's how maybe that would make sense to us. All right. So I'm going to look at three critical issues this article raises and what they mean for our socioeconomic context. Because this is not just about, it's not just about, as I said earlier on, it's not just about pie charts. It's about our livelihood and our environment and our future. So let's go. So, right? All right. Let's get into the first one. The issue number one is the pie chart stock crisis and the economic impact. I think that's comes out through this article. So Namibia, we have been a fishing powerhouse for many years, and pie chart used to be a major player in fishing. Historically, our pie chart stock collapsed in the mid 1970s due to overfishing and environmental factors. And despite a moratorium on pichet fishing, they are still actually struggling to bounce back. So this species actually still struggling, to bounce back. Now, the article says the current biomass is 850,000 metric tons. But we need at least 1 million tons for a sustainable population. So, and that is a problem, my dear friends. That's a problem. And why this is a problem? Why this is a problem? For one, because pichets are not just fish. They are fish, but they are not just fish. They are a key part of our economy. So they're a big part of our economy. Back in the days, pichets were huge export. They were really a huge export, bringing in serious cash and providing jobs in processing plants, especially in Wavish Bay. So, but when the stock crashed, so did the industry. So the industry also crashed. So many people actually lost their job, and Namibia's reputation as the fishing nation also took a hit somehow. So, and now, even though there is a moratorium, some vessels are still actually catching pichets, allegedly on purpose. So under the guise of bay catch, while fishing for other species like horse mackerels. So the bay catch is when, when you throw your net into the water and then you are supposed to catch, your quota is horse mackerel. But then you also catch other fish. So normally you don't just throw the bay catch. You should be throwing them back because you're not allowed to catch that. But what they do, they keep that, they keep the bay catch. And what happened now, some people actually now, some vessels, they are actually catching the pichet on purpose, not as a bay catch anymore, but on purpose. And this is, a sabotage, and that is actually sabotaging now the recovery efforts. And it's got the government now worried. So that's what's happening. So, and this is being done by international vessels. That's also being done by international vessels. So, and as I said, when we talk about the pichets, as I said, they are key part of our economy. Fishing contribute about 3% to Namibia's GDP, but it's more than that. Eh? It is a lifeline for the coastal community, the people that are in the coast, and also for the majority of Namibians, because we're talking about people lost their job because of whatever happened in that sectors. So yeah, it's a lifeline, and one have to be really, as I said at the beginning, this is a big deal. So in 2024, the fishing sector employed over 16,000 people directly and supported countless other indirectly. So plus, fish is one of our top export, bringing in foreign currency as well. So this is, as I said, the pichard species, it's a key part of our economy. So now the article points out that fish is one of the few products we sent to other African countries like Zambia, the DRC, and South Africa. So if pichard stock don't recover, we are not just losing actually a species. If they don't recover, we are not just losing that species. We are losing economic opportunities. We're losing jobs, and we're losing food security for our people. So, as I said at the beginning, it's not just about fish. This is actually a key part of our economy. So, but here is the issue. Here is the big concern. The ministry suspect some of this bay catch, as I said earlier on, is not accidental, because not the bay catch are accidental when you're actually catching, you know, what you are actually authorized to catch. So the vessels, they might be targeting pichards on the sly, you know, on the sly, because they are valuable. This is what now the ministry is suspecting. And so they suspect that some of this bay catch is not accidental. So it's very intentional, because the pichards are very valuable. So, and the other issue is that with the current penalties not scaring anyone, the penalty is not really something that scares anyone. So a person may catch actually the bay catch, you know. They may actually do bay catch, because even if they would actually pay as a penalty, it's peanuts compared to what they get out of the bay catch. So, you know, as I said, the current penalty is scary. It doesn't scare anyone. It's like trying to stop a leak with a Band-Aid. So, we need stronger enforcement. And this is what the minister is talking about. We need a stronger enforcement. And we are going to keep, we are going to keep circling, you know, the drain. Now, so that's what is coming out of there, out of the story. And moving to issue number two, the environmental sustainability and ecosystem health. I think that's another issue that's coming out of this article. Well, now I know some of you might be thinking, Oshoveli, Why should I care about, you know, fish stocks? And I'm not a fisherman, you know? So, and here is why. This is the reason why you should be thinking about, you know, thinking, caring about the fish stocks, even if you're not a fisherman. So the, you know, the pichets are what they call, the pichet species are what they call keystone species. Keystone species. They are small, but, well, when it comes to the food chain, they punch way above their weight, you know? So when it comes to that. So they feed on plankton, and they are a crucial food source for bigger fish. You know, this is the crucial food for bigger fish, for seabirds on the sea, and other marine mammals as well. So now the problem is here. So when the pichet numbers drop, when it goes down, the whole ecosystems feel it. So the whole ecosystem feels it. It's not just about the pichet species itself, but it's also affecting the whole ecosystem. So we'll be back.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Yes, welcome back. So, yeah, and I was saying they are really crucial. The pichet species are very crucial for food source for bigger fishes and other marine mammals and seabirds as well. So, and as I said earlier on, that when pichet's number drop, the whole ecosystem will be affected. And think about it, pichets are like the engine oil in your car. Okay? It's like the engine oil in a car. Without enough oil, the engine seizes up, you know? So without enough pichets, so our marine ecosystem could actually come to a could stall actually, and affecting other fish stocks when we rely on like hake, horse mackerel. So it does affect those ones as well. So and let not forget the endangered seabirds that depend on the pichet for survival as well. You know, species like African penguin and Cape gannet. So they're already struggling because their food sources are dwindling. So they're in shortage. So it is very important, and so that's why why is this socioeconomically relevant when we're looking at this? It's because if you have a healthy oceans, you know, in terms of now healthy ocean, you have a really good balance, you know, means a healthy fishing industry, and which means jobs and food for Namibians. So yeah, plus Namibia is committed to sustainable development. So our constitution even talks about protecting ecosystem for future generation. So, but if we keep letting bycatch slide, You know, we just kind of like ignore it. We are actually shooting ourselves in the foot. So we need to think long term. Well, short term gain from illegal fishing could cost us big time down the road. So, yeah, I think that's very important to understand. Yeah, about this. And all right, and issue number three. This is really now the where the ministers talking about the governance and the enforcement challenges. The article quote Minister Damani saying that current enforcement measures aren't really cutting it. They are not really cutting it. So the vessels are still catching pilchards, and the penalties aren't scary. They aren't scary enough to stop them. So it's like trying to enforce a speed limit with how many? With 50 Namibian dollar fine. I don't think nobody's going to slow down with that. They aren't cutting it, according to the minister. So, and what is the plan? So what is the plan? So the ministry is talking about revising the moratorium, maybe revising the moratorium, setting stricter baycatch limits, even changing the landed value of species to make pilchard now baycatch less appealing. So those are some of the idea the minister they are entertaining. So they are also looking at a better monitoring system and tougher penalties. So what are those tougher penalties? It's not yet clear. What are those tough penalties? Yeah. But here's the million dollar questions. Will it work? Will it work this time? Yeah. Will it work this time? And let's be real. So I have been around. I really have been around. And enforcement in the fishing industry has always been tricky. This is coming a long way. Namibia's water are vast. And sometimes monitoring every vessel is like trying to police the whole Namib desert with a handful of rangers, you know? Yeah. So, and there is an issue of the other thing is also you have to understand, things that you probably don't want to hear. So there is issue of, you know, the word, corruption. Yes, I said it. So corruption. Remember the fish rod scandal back in the 2019? It showed how deep the rot can go when money is really involved. And the baycatch, it's money, you know. So while the ministry plan sounds good on the paper, so we need to see real action. And of course, transparency. So, yeah. And this ties directly to our socioeconomic context because trust in governance is a key. That's a key. We need to see that. We need to see a real action and transparency as well. So if Namibians don't believe the government can manage our resources fairly, that erodes a public confidence. It's erode public trust in either in the ministry or in the institution that are entrusted with this responsibility. So, and in a country where unemployment unemployment's higher, it's higher and inequality, it's a hot topic. I think that's a recipe for discontent And we have seen that. We have seen that in the region of Erongo. For years, that has been, there has been issues that are going on in terms of this sector. So we need to see the ministry walk the talk. We really need to see the ministry. And it has been, going on. Some of the issues in that sector has been going on without really being, really dealt with. So it looks like there is some movement. As I said, 16,000 people have been, you know, in 2024 have been employed directly and indirectly in some areas, in some operations. So we need to see the ministry walk the talk, you know, cracking down on illegal fishing, because that's robbing us our future. It's really robbing us our future. We need to see that. We also need to see, you know, the ministry supporting sustainable practices. Otherwise, as I said, it robs us our future. We need to see that and making sure the benefit of our fishing industry reach the people, not just some big players, but, you know, we want to eat, you know, the right fish, the hakes, and, you know, and not always eating kashuku irole, or kashuku no lialian, no. Yeah, we want to also eat, because when it comes to hakes, they're really expensive. We can't afford them. So that's why we go to those, and these best fishes goes where? Eh? So, you know what we're talking about. So what is the bottom line, Namibia? What is the bottom line? So the Pichet Bay Watch and Bay Catch. Why am I saying Bay Watch? So the Pichet Bay Catch, issue is a very serious one. It's not just about fish. It's about our economy. It's about our environment, and it's about our governance. You know, it leaves us with questions. Do we let short-term greed, Do we let short-term greed win? Yeah, because there are people who, this is not just about, you know, if it's let gone for quite a long time, it's because there are people that are benefiting out of it. And that's greed. Do we let that short-term greed win? And that robbed us our future? Or do we invest in a sustainable future by making sure that we crack down on this legal fishing and bringing up, you know, putting in place sustainable practices so that this can benefit everyone. So, and my take really on this is we need to get serious about enforcement, the minister that is talking about. That means investing in technology, maybe. If we need to, we need to invest in technology. Satellite monitoring, you know, that's happened in other parts of the world. So invest in technology like satellite monitoring, increasing patrol. Yeah. Let's increase patrol. That's also an opportunity to employ, you know, to employ young people, some people as well in the sector, and also then making penalty head where it counts. Where does it count? Yeah. Make penalties head where it counts. So, and that's in the wallet. So make it hurt. Make their wallet really speaks. Yeah, for now it doesn't. As I said, the penalties, the people would choose to pay the penalty because they get more benefit from the bay catch. So, yeah. So, but the whole thing is not just about the government anyway. So, it's not just on the government. The fishing industry need to step up too. It also need to step up. Companies should adopt best practices. They should adopt best practices like using selective fishing gears to to reduce bay catch and also be transparent about their operations. Because now this is like, it's a bay catch and definitely, you know, and it becomes now a practice. So be transparent about your operation as well. So there's also something on the companies as well. So yeah, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Is the government doing enough to protect our pilchard stocks? And have you seen the impact of the fishing industry in your community? So let us know. Let me know. Our telephone number is 08333 66091, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. Sometime I talk about this and I'm not sure whether I said the right thing. All right. So can I have a commercial break? But you are most welcome to come through with your reactions, with your contribution. 08333 66091.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. And if you just joining us, this is Eagle FM. This is Unpacking the Day live on Eagle FM. So our time is about 16 minutes past the hour of 8, and we go up to 9:30, and we still have our the show is still packed with a lot of things coming up, so stay tuned. So but we were looking at the fishing sector, where we have the ministry actually getting worried. Not just worried, but because there are issues when it comes to bay catch in the Namibian water. The ministry is it's suspecting that some vessels are still catching pilchards, allegedly on purpose, under the guise of bay catch, while fishing for other species, as I said earlier on, horse mackerel. So, and this is actually sabotaging the recovery effort, of pilchard. So, and we looked at what are the critical issues that we, from the stories, so that we picked up on the stories. So the ministry is suspecting of some of this, bay catch is not, accidental. They are not accidental. The vessels might be targeting Pritchard on purpose, because they know that they are valuable. And also, the other things we looked at is also the enforcement, the current penalties, as the ministry talked about, is not scaring anyone. So it's not scaring anyone. It's a peanut, you know. So the vessels may do this as actually there is a moratorium that, you know, that asking for that help us to make sure that, you know, this piece is actually recovered. But the vessels continue actually to, you know, to catch the pilchards. And as I said, the ministry suspects some of this bycatch isn't accidental. And the vessel might be targeting the pilchards because they are really valuable. Yeah. And then the ministry talks about that we need a strong enforcement, and also maybe revising our moratorium, and because, as I said, the pilchards, if that is not, you know, controlled, so the pilchards are the engine, are like the engine of your car, yeah? And without the pilchard, you know, the marine ecosystem could actually be affected. That could affect other stocks as well, that we rely on, the hakes and the horse mackerels, and also, you know, other maritime mammals as well. So, yeah, that's we look at that a little bit in detail, just to give us a bit of flesh on the bones, and also looking at it maybe more in depth, and also analyze some of the aspects that are coming out of the article. So, yeah, overall, what is your contribution? What is your reaction to that? So you're most welcome to come through. And our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onoraje tatu imwe. Datu heari jamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM. So welcome back, and a very good morning to you. So our time is about 21 minutes past the hour of 8, and you are welcome to come through at any time, even if I move to any other topic as well. So please do come through at any time and interrupt me at any time, and if you want to. To react to one of our early morning one of our stories, even in the morning. So we have early morning scoop in the morning. If there is a story also that you want to react on, you're most welcome. This is also a platform to react to some of those, stories that we covered in the morning. So please, you're most welcome as well. So, I'm waiting for you, for your contribution. 08333-66091. Yes, Namibia, you are tuned into Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So where we break it down, keep it real, and talk about what is shaping our country and our continent. And speaking of the continent, African leaders are telling the U.S., the United States of America, it is a time to rethink how they roll with Africa. You know, this comes straight from an article by the African Development Bank, published yesterday, titled African Leaders Urge the United States to Embrace Investment-Driven Partnership and Review Tariff. We're going to look at that when we come back from this caller. Good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mike.
Good morning. Uncle Bona.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Thank God for that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I did. I did listen.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing that we all depend on some of those resources.
Definitely.
And if we don't preserve them properly, they might come to the point of distinction.
Yeah.
So being depreciated or whatever.
And that affect our livelihood as well.
Very much.
Mm.
That's why the other time when you were having a conversation with Dr. Sindano, you are saying that you are very cautious, you know. And this is exactly what is happening now. They have realized that this mother planet must be taken care of. And we should not destroy it and everything therein, because that's where we depend. So
and that's a very important point you're making. We all, even in our own houses on individual basis, I think that's a very good point. We should be able to create that awareness within our children to appreciate nature, you know, to protect nature. And sometimes it pains me when you see the development of town cutting trees, big trees that have taken many years to grow, like 40 years or 50 years to grow, and you cut it down. Ah, it pains me.
Let me tell you something. You know, if you go to this area of Ningimino, especially in Ombarande, in that area, I don't know how that area, apart from being a kind of a Oshana, where the water is just, but you see those big trees. And those trees are there and they are so good. And last time we were talking about tourism and all this other thing. There's one room I used to just shade myself sometimes there and just listen to you people and the place is not taken care of.
Yeah.
That's why people are using themselves. That's why people, and at one point they had to be on that thing, and then I chased three of them.
Yeah.
Wanted to. So the environment is not taken care of.
Yeah.
And we expect tourism to go there, a village tourism that we are talking about, and then people see how they can experience the new thing. So now let me now couple that one with the aquaculture that was discussed here, where people are now producing fish, where they are, I think now this one is in the rural areas, and I've heard about these things and aquaculture, where you can integrate, you know, this maybe crops, crop production. And these are the animals production, and now those, you know, those poultries. You know? And so these are kind of initiatives that have been, you know, promulgated.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know how you say it there. And the people, our people don't seem to take advantage of these things, aquaculture, because this one, you can create a pond, at your own place there, at your home. Mm-hmm. Like the person who was interviewed this morning, he said he has got many ponds now. He can make ponds. And these are ponds like
Ngashimogwa.
And all these kind of things. And even in the community there are those who were left by those contractors. And those people who were sand mining, and then all these things. There are a lot of these things that can be rehabilitated. And then the people now, the community, I'm not talking about now individual basis, because on the individual basis, maybe those are well able. But according to him, there is also assistance that can be sourced. And then things like that, and then people can be funded and things like that. So why are we not doing these things? We can sell them fish. We can do all these things. The one that you are talking about, maybe is in the sea now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the sea. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
it's
now
one of the
one
best
that
fish,
the one that we can then bring it out here and harvest and do things. And people are doing it, especially in this area of. Oningino, I don't know our side there, or Congo. So maybe it's because maybe the density of the distance of the things, you know.
Yeah.
So because that area has been a war zone area, so maybe it could also be. And you mentioned about Mozambique this morning.
Yeah.
And those have been colonized and for many, many years and things like that. But I think if we can really put our effort together, our energy and our little resources, especially in the rural area, people are talking about community development, programs and things like that. I think we can really have some fish for self-consumptions and all some supplies to sell.
Yeah, no, definitely on a local level, those initiatives would actually. Create a revenue for individuals. And now that reminds me, I don't know whether it used to be Omlemba or Tonata who always said, why do we actually?
Where are those my young brothers? I do hear Tonata sometimes with Elizabeth.
That why we have to do
Aquafresh. And things like that. I haven't been hearing them, but I love their contribution. Also.
Yeah, why do we have to do aquaculture when we have so much fish in the sea? So who is going to eat our fish in the sea?
you see now, you know, those kind of beverages. But for us, why should we not just counter that argument? Because we need fish. After all, most of the ones that come from there, we don't see them.
Yeah.
You know those black ones, Masimbangera, you know Masimbangera, what is it?
Yeah.
Those fish are very scarce, my friend. And I'm sure everybody know how to prepare that one and also, and they are nice.
Yeah.
But they're very scarce. So thank you very much, Mike, giving me an opportunity.
No, thanks for coming through this morning.
I hope the war there, geopolitics and things like that, things are stabilizing.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, that's sometimes that's life, my dear.
And we must clearly thank God. I think you people will talk more about religious and I think you have really prayed for that, for the peace in the world.
Yeah, so... So we encourage people to tune in History of Riyam, one of our program by France. It's go deeper into those aspects as well. Yeah.
But I true, you are right. Even yesterday, he actually was narrating about the war, and we really thank God for his insight and the research and the. What is giving us is building us.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Thank you, my God. God bless.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah. Yes, we're talking about fish, and you should be concerned about this. I think I'm not talking with absolute. How would I say it? You know, it's a concern of the patrolling of our waters, and there's a lot of illegal fishing that is actually taking place into our waters. And I'm wondering about our monitoring capability of our own water, especially when it comes to illegal fishing. So, and that's why we see this problem. That's why we have this problem of bay catch. An issue of corruption, an issue of corruptions, as we have actually indicated. Yeah. Where there is money, it tends herd. It spins herd, you know? So, yeah. So do come through and have your contribution on that. We were just getting into our second, topic, on the show. This is about African leaders are telling the U.S. that it's time to rethink how, you know, they role, you know, with Africa. So, you know, how do they work or deal with Africa? So when it comes to aid and investment, are we going to look into that? So, as this is coming from, it's an article yesterday by the African Development Bank, and as I said, entitled, if you're going to look at it, it's more detailed, African leaders urge U.S. To embrace investment-driven partnership and review tariff. Now, and this is coming from the EU, the United USA Africa Business Summit that took place up in Angola, in Rwanda, where over 2,000 big shots, we're talking about big shots from governments and business, got together. Talking about big shots here now. So, and what was the vibe? So the vibe, Africa is done. Africa is done with aid handouts. So that's the message. We are done with aid handout. We want investment. We want trade and a fair shot at U.S. market. That's what they were talking. That's what they were, you know, they were toying. Well, they were not in a street. They were not in a street of Luanda, but, you know, in that conference, in that summit, well, they didn't have placards though, but you know, just the speakers that were talking, that were speaking. So they were toying. I'm just using that language. They were toying, that Africa is done with aid handouts. I'm wondering about that. Are we really done, with aid handouts? Even Namibia recently, we got some handouts from, was it from Japan and the EU that's come for for aid relief? So are we done with hands out? Do we know what we're talking about? All right. So maybe we are. So they said we want investment, we want trade, and a fair shot at the U.S. market. That's what they were toying about. All right. I'm not saying now it's in the street. In their speech. So let's unpack this, and see what it means, what it means for us and, the whole continent. So still in the morning, grab that tea, sit tight. So let's roll. Now, first up, let's talk about this big shift. All right. There's this big shift the African leaders are pushing. Ditching aid, for investment and trade. They want to ditch aid. We no longer want aid. We want investment. So now there's also coming from the Angolan president, João Lourenço. Is it Lourenço or Lorenzo? So João Lourenço, dropped a truth bomb at the summit now, saying that, he was saying that, quote unquote, it is time to replace the logic of aid with the logic of investment and trade, unquote. And I was saying, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. President. For too long, Africa have been stuck in this aid trap. Billion flowing in. But it's like putting a bad aid on a broken leg, you know? So the aid helped for a minute. But of course, the aid doesn't build roads. It doesn't, you know, doesn't build factories. It doesn't create jobs that last. So I was saying, yes, yes, Mr. President. Okay. Yes, Mr. President. Yeah. So, and for Namibia, this is for us, that's personal as well. And the president, our president also talked about, you know, in terms of we have got diamond, we have uranium, fish, you know, stuff the world wants. We got the stuff the world want. Diamonds, uranium, and fish. But why are we not in position of strength? We the one who have all this natural resource, but we are not in the position of strength. So we still actually, and this the president also, our president mentioned, talk about, we're still shipping it out raw. We're still shipping this out, all these resources out. We're shipping them out raw, not making it, you know, into finished goods. And this is what the president said also, our president mentioned, you know, we are not making into finished goods. Just imagine, just imagine. A U.S. cash flowing into a Namibia tech hub or a fish processing plant instead of just buying our catch. Yeah? That's what our president is pushing. That's what the Africans are pushing. So, and that's jobs, that's skills. That real growth, that's actually growth right here at home. That would be really growth right here at home. And imagine for Africa. Imagine for Africa with 1.3 billion people. 1.3 billion people. So we are a gold mine of potential. A really gold mine of potential. Investment beats aid every day. With that amount of people, investment beats aid every day. It is about building, not begging. It should be about building and not, you know, not standing on the front line begging. So, and that's what we're saying. That's what the African leaders and business people said. We want trade and investment, not aid anymore. So that's one thing that has been talked about in that summit. So, and the next issue, they put up their hands, you know, when you put up hands like a child in the kinder. In the kindergarten, the other things they have put up their hands, they have toyed. They say those U.S. tariff gotta go. So because they were speaking to the American, they must also say that gotta go. That got to go. So those U.S. tariff also got to go. So the African Development Bank boss, Dr. Adesina, Akinumi Adesina, he was really very clear, you know, quote unquote, we should review the higher tariff on African countries. So that's something that, unquote. So this tariff, you know, for us, it's like a tax war, you know? Jacking up the price of our goods in the US. let's take Namibian's beef, you know, some of the best in the world. Yes, one of the best in the world. So, but with U.S. tariff hitting 25% on our products, so our farmers are probably stuck competing with cheaper import from elsewhere. So what does it mean? What does it, that's less sales, that's less cash, that less job or fewer job, and that's it's the same. It's the same with same deal for Ghana's cocoa or Kenya's flowers. You know, the tariffs are choking us out. They're really choking us out. So, and that's why most of those leader in that meeting got to say the tariff got to go. It got to go. So, Dr. Adesina also said, he said it best when he said, quote unquote, what is needed is more trade, not less, you know? So lower those tariffs. If you lower those tariffs, and this is the message to America, lower those tariffs and Namibia could actually flood the U.S. with beef, you know, boosting our economy and giving the American barbecue lovers a treat with our meat. We will be able to give the barbecue lovers, you know, in America with our meat. I told you, it's one of the best. So, yeah, lower those tariffs. And we will flood the U.S. with beef. So, and for Africa, we will talk about after this commercial break.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
It is true. Your views are not of Eagle FM's, and they are not our views as well. Well, but you're most welcome to come through and air your views. This is the platform to do that, and you can come through and contribute on what we have covered so far. Yeah, our telephone number again, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So we're looking into what happened in the U.S. Africa Business Summit that took place in Rwanda, in Angola, where the African said, we don't want to aid anymore. And I'm not too sure about that. So we don't want to aid anymore. We want investment. We want trade. Okay? So, and also, they say, you know, that high tariff you're imposing on us, it got to go. So it got to go. So, and for Africa, it's about what they want is leveling the field. So we want the field leveled. So why should our exporters pay extra just to play? You know, so the U.S. says it's about protecting their own. And that's fair. But fair trade is a two-way relations. It's a two-way street, you know. So, yeah, we want a fair trade and not someone being bullying the others. As I said, in Africa and in Namibia, we have all those, you know, what the world wants. Why can't we trade, being in a stronger positions? Because uranium, diamond, all that, fish, this is what the world wants. So we are in actually strong position. We are the one to dictate, you know, how this transaction should be done, what should be done, and all that. So, yeah. So, and the Africans are starting to realize that, and I just hope that they are, you know, what they talk, their mouth, it's where the, you know, their action is where their mouth are. Yeah, so that's just the concern. And especially when you said, hey, we don't want aid anymore. You know, we could trade. So that's one aspect that comes out of that, US Africa summit, business summit. Yeah. The third issue was diversifying investment. Okay. Yeah. So, President, Lorenzo, the Angolan president, he wasn't playing. So he told the US company, to stop obsessing. Okay. He told them to stop obsessing over oil and minerals and look at other sectors as well. Look at automotive, look at tourism, look at steel, you name it. So he was saying diversify your investment. Don't just look at, you know, don't be obsessed with oil and minerals, which actually extracting out of our countries and in raw materials and they, for us, we're not benefiting from it. So Africa's been a raw material buffet for too long. We have been a buffet of raw material for we dig, we drill, we ship them, you know, and watch others make the big bucks, you know, turning our stuff into cars, into gadgets, you know. So Africans are saying, no more, man. We want this for ourselves. It's God given to us, you know, and we are relinquishing in poverty while we're having all this all these resources. And European and American are rushing into Africa because we have this. Yeah, so I think it's good that we start to realize that. It's the same thing the Commonwealth, that business, the minister, trade ministers meeting and the other one. So, yeah, all that, you know, it's really coming to a realization that we need to do something. And slowly, our conscience is being raised. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do here on Eagle FM. In our small way, in our little contribution here and there with different programs that we offer you, it's really to raise that consciousness. And, if you tell someone who tells someone who tells someone, that's how, you know, the change will come. So, and Namibia sitting on uranium, for example, yeah? We are the fourth biggest producer globally. Fourth. But we don't have, the word's out of my head now. So we export it unprocessed. We export it unprocessed with, what if the US firm, the word I was looking for is nuclear plant. So what if the US firm now build plant here to turn into a nuclear fuel? or invested in our tourism, you know, those dunes and wildlife could be cash, could be a cash cow with the right push. All this can be cash cow, with the right push, really. So across Africa, Nigeria could, you know, could crank out cars. South Africa could scale up steels, you know. Diversifying means jobs. It means keeping the profit where they belong, right here. So, and that's what African leaders and business, you know, the big shots that who attended. So I told you at the beginning, you know, it was attended by the big shot. So you can see what they're saying. Well, hope they are not just rhetoric. That they will be able to put this in practice as well. Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of the discussions, which are really very important. I like the whole, you know, focus of the discussions. It shows where the direction, where we want to go. Even if we are not there, we can see that we see the vision. We see we are waking up, and slowly by slowly, and we're getting there. Hopefully, we will get there for our continent's sake. Now, let's hit the African Continental Free Trade Area, the Wemkele Mene, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area head, the head of that institution, call it ambitious, and it is ambitious. So it's about smashing trade barriers across 54 countries. So creating, you know, the whole idea is creating one giant market. Eh? As I said earlier, with 1.3 billion people, that's a giant market. So, and think 30 million people out of poverty, yeah, and 52% jump in trade, you know, between US and Africans. So for Namibia, that's a new buyer for our, you know, when that's open up, if this become a reality in the way that we think it is, a new buyers of for our fish, you know, in Nigeria, our gems in Egypt, so that's when that's open up, that's what it means. So, plus we could actually set up shops in other countries, eh? So mixing our skills with their markets. Can you imagine setting up a store in Egypt or in Morocco or in Cote d'Ivoire, eh? So, this is what Africa Continental Free Trade Area should, you know, create. And that's the ambition. So, yeah. Well, and honestly speaking, it's not all smooth sailing. We know that. It's not all smooth sailing. There are so many challenges. And that's how it, sometimes you come to the reality. When we all propagate, promote, the intercontinental trade, there are other issues that always hit you. There are things that we need to sort out first. Some of those, like, some road sucks, really. You go in certain countries and, the road networks really, really, really sucks. Yeah? So how do you then be able to do business with other countries when that's a problem, when that's an issue? Our trucks that are coming from Namibia, maybe with whatever, So with you know, with the hydrogen, you know, gas, so to any other country, when if we are doing a continental trade trade between ourselves, so I'm just giving an example that so road networks in some country are really, they need to be improved for us to be able really to do things that we're saying. Policies, sometimes policies clash. Policies are not the same. They don't have to be the same, but there must be some kind of, you know, agreement in our policy, in terms of principle, maybe not in terms of operation, but in terms of principle, to be able to do business together. Mm? So in some country, cash is tight. You know, cash, some country have cash, you know, and some country cash is very tight. But still, okay? Let's get this. If the African continental free trade area works, if it works, Africa becomes the beast. It becomes the beast the U.S. cannot ignore. With the number of resources that we have and the number of populations that we have, it is our ticket to calling the shots and not just taking orders. It is. And if this could work, it really make us a beast. You know, to any group, you know, whether you European groups, you know, well, whereas, you know, the Asian, maybe more than us in terms of population and all that, but it really become a beast. And the world can't ignore us anymore. It's our ticket, as I said, this Africa continental trade, free trade areas, it's our ticket to calling the shots. We just need to work it out. We just need to make sure that it works. So if you don't want to take orders anymore, that's what we need to do. All right? So... yeah, and then there is this Lobito Corridor, this project linking Angola, Zambia, and DRC to Congo, to Angola's ports. I think this was an example given by the FDB, you know, the African Development Bank, as an example, you know. And the FDB dropping 500 million, talking about dropping 500 million on it, plus a billion, moreover, a billion more over five years, you know. So, and for Namibia, it is a win. For us, it's a win. A win. Our neighbors, Angola, thrives if they thrives, and we could actually tie into, if we can tie into within we can tie that with our own Wavish Bay corridor, so that would be a win for us as well. So we can see minerals and crops zipping through the region cheaper and faster. So I think that if you tie that, so I think. That's trade on steroids, and it's a job for everyone nearby, you know. So, yeah, it's an example that was given. It's a model for Africa. Connect the dots and watch the money flow. So, and the U.S. jumping in here could, you know, turbocharge, you know, that turbocharge it. Proving they are serious about, you know, so that also proving that they are serious about real partnership. So if they are real, but yeah, you can talk about that with China, but with US, Yeah, so they have their preference, like human rights in terms of, you know, what is that? Homosexualities and you know, what is the word? That's not the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for those things that are, what happened to? You know, there are times when English just disappeared. You know, it's just, gone with the wind. Yeah. So they have their own, preference in terms of investment, and sometimes it's weird with Americans. So that's why I said, if they are really serious about real partnership in terms, in issues that matter to us, not that furthering their ideologies and their worldview. All right. So, yeah. And, last biggie, we can look at that comes out also is infrastructure and smart financing. That's also what comes out there. Africa's got a gaping infrastructure, gap or hole. So power cuts in most countries. Bad roads, no internet in ports, in sports, and the FDB, the African Development Bank is on it. So it's on it with $55 billion invested in that, invested in the last 10 years. So they are also pushing a tricks like asset recycling, asset recycling, selling off stuff like bridge to fund new buildings or to fund new builds if you want to do something, to reinvest into something different. So I mentioned bridge because there's an example of look at the Senegambia bridge. The Senegambia bridge got its $104 million back to reinvest. All right? So Namibia could actually do that with our, just giving an example. Don't get tempted. So, because it has its own downfall. So, yeah, we could maybe, yeah, we could do that with our ports or maybe with our parks as well. You could do that. Freeze up cash for solar, maybe for solar farms, that we need and, or maybe for highways in other part of the country. So, yeah. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
I'm all right, man. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought you have become an ambassador somewhere in Lubumbashi. They will send you to DRC Congo.
I wish, man. I wish.
Yeah,
my brother, Fritz Wright.
Yeah.
And they are talking about the African American summit.
Yeah, no, the couple of, I think they were really bold, with the Americans.
Yeah.
So where they really said, hey, we don't want aid anymore, which I doubt. They said, we don't want aid anymore. So we want investment and trade. And, and they were really strong with them and said, look, those tariffs you are imposing, it got to go. We need that free, between, free trade,
and
AGOA bring back, you know, the AGOA thing. So, they really push Americans. But American, as I said, Americans, they have their own priority. They don't really invest in things like infrastructure and other things like the Chinese. So they need to change the way they think.
That's exactly. And you know one thing, think, when it comes to Americans, it's like, they know, they only, their priorities are about themselves.
With anybody.
Exactly. That's how it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, everybody is about to survive. Mm. But the way we do in Africa is the other way around.
Yeah, no. And imagine.
We don't have our priorities for our people, but we can have priorities for American or Chinese, anybody outside.
And you think of this, you know, you have these
big power, China, America, Europe, especially for Namibia. You think of our minerals, uraniums, diamonds, fish, all those kind of things. We are actually in the position of power.
Very much.
We are the one actually in the position of power to decide how whatever trade goes on, you know?
Exactly.
But,
look how we are. Look when we are, even like where we are talking about today, even like, you see yesterday in the newspaper, this iPhone, for lithium. They've been given a green light. And the members were strong that nobody is going to take our raw materials or us adding a value.
Yeah.
What is happening now? And remember, the money is in the under office.
Yeah, exactly.
What is happening?
That's what we want to see.
No, no, my brother. Thing is that, you know, for us, when we are talking about even your film, sometimes you can just say, no, we are not interested. We know we need our job, but we are thinking about our future generation. That lithium can take.
But you see, it sometimes becomes a challenge for the current, not only the current, but for, you know, when you find yourself in a situation, you are hungry and, you know, because the only asset that you have that will give you that amount of money that you need. So, on the individual level, that's what we do. I found myself in this situation, and
we do, and
the asset, the most valuable asset that I have to sell it in on cheap, you know, for me to be able to survive. And I think on the country level, that's what we do. We found ourselves unemployment and
but you know,
highest
in the country,
debt of
in the country level is like let me put it this way: it's like you're having a community.
Yeah.
Because now, when you're having a community, you might get the idea that you don't sell your car for that. You can jump from 120 to 60.
Yeah.
A person is offering 60, what is he saying? He's having in hand a cash.
Yeah.
What about, because now you're going to the community to ask even the advice. They will tell you, no, what about if you even do barter system? Where, because now we know that you are having a credit. What about this person paying off your credit?
Yeah.
Then you get even 40,000. You see?
Yeah.
Instead of, because now we are owing you somebody maybe like even 100 or 80.
Mm.
Then that 20, you know, that is a interest for you.
Yeah.
So our country is that we're giving everything and we are not gaining anything.
Yeah, no. In the end, we're not gaining anything at all.
No, not at all.
And putting our future of our generation, the future generation in jeopardy. Yeah.
And now, my friend, we are going to be questioned what you've been doing. Why things are happening this way, but you guys were out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was even talking about the bay catch, of fishing in our waters.
I'm telling you. Look at the newspaper today.
Yeah.
Where they're getting fish, species which are not allowed.
Mm.
And they are just saying it's supposed to be said, no. The people have been arrested because they caught fish which they are not allowed to catch. Now it's just a statement there. Yeah. And it ends there.
But normally that's happened anywhere. You know, it happened anywhere that when you throw a net, you don't know catching.
No. Yeah. There is. You know, there's a big net with it. They're having big hole.
Yeah.
For the fish, small fish to get out. And there's a small net which you cannot even catch the big fish.
Yeah. It does happen.
People are doing it on purpose.
In other countries, they are really heavy punishment. They
confiscate even your license, my friend. You are
exactly.
Yeah. Or about. They will take about from you as a payment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't do that.
Yeah, for us, our penalties, actually, it encourages actually people to do that because they know, because they know that they can pay the penalties, but they make more income.
Exactly. More income than the difficulty.
From the penalties that they give. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Mike, let us go back to the Africa Summit. We are talking about fleet right now.
Yeah.
Is Namibia saying something or is they just about to shut up?
Well, the president was speaking. He was also speaking.
Do we need to say something about the free trade, seriously? Will our country cannot trade itself? No, man. It's what I'm saying. Our Namibian people, we don't know what we want. Because remember one thing, that why we so much of us, we are poor. It's because we cannot trade. We cannot take something from Angola to come and sell it here.
Yeah.
The moment you are entering at Oshivelo, they construct everything. If you are having, let them say, if you are poor, even you live in that side of Ketimas, you are poor, but you have a castle and a house in South Africa, you are easily to get this leech in 6 months.
Yeah.
But for us, we are having castle in Angola. What is going to happen to us? And you are talking about the free trade now.
Yeah.
African free trade way.
Yeah, no, as I said, there are a lot of issues that need to be, you know, to be sorted out. Whether it's infrastructures, the country are not the same. Whether it's policies, we are not the same. Whether it's in terms of certain countries are just there.
Even the money itself, my friend.
Exactly.
The policy which I'm telling you, you are talking about now, even like the one in Oshivelo. Then you are here claiming like everything is fine in our country.
Yeah, so
let us sort it out ourselves first.
Just hold on.
Before we talk about our interest.
Just hold on for a quick commercial quickly. Yeah.
Okay, I can hold on.
John 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added a brand new feature.
All right. Just go on. Yeah.
Let me know about quickly. Yeah. You know, Mike, for me, when we are talking about free trade, we support even to start with our currency first.
Yeah.
We start with our currency. We start with our passport, especially when where we're having ID, we can go to Botswana. Botswana can enter Namibia.
Yeah, which is a very simple, basic thing.
Whole thing we to sort it out.
Of allowing just other people to come in, to travel, without visas and all that.
Go to Angola and then you see, especially when you're having a plate number of Namibia.
Yeah.
Then you pass like Olubango going that side. My friend, you pay the moment you enter for Santa Clara.
I know.
Up to where you are ending.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. And this is an issue. Very, very minor issue is about to be sorted out, but it's not happening because we looking at a blind eye and we think like, before America didn't say nothing to sort it out, those small things, then you can leave it the way it is. Because we need somebody, every time we need somebody from either Europe, America, or Chinese to tell us that you guys, why are we going to sort it out this thing? Then it's where we are looking at like, this is a, we're supposed to sort it out, these things. But this is a minor thing which is supposed to do it ourselves as African. But it's not happening at all.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, in Africa, my friends, there are people when they die trying, like the Gaddafis, Mugabe, you name it, there are a lot.
Yeah.
Thomas Sankara and others. But I'm sure if we are not going to learn anything from Burkina Faso, the current president which is there, Ibrahim Traore, and they will never learn, African will never learn anything at all.
Yeah, if you are in a position where you, as a leader, and you don't want to be put to shame, So you want instead of actually applauding that and see as a model that we all follows, you, it kind of like put you to shame, and you don't want that to happen. Eh?
You know, Mike, if it was me, I'm going to, if it was me, a president, or even just a simple minister, I can go to Burkina Faso just to find out how they turn around their watch, their candidate, where it is.
Yeah, because, imagine you are Museveni now. You are Museveni, and you have been there for how many, 30 or many years?
Yeah, how many years? Yeah.
So do you think, you know, it would be like, as I said, it would be like, you know, why haven't you done this before? It would be like, it would be like a shame for you to do that.
It's very shameful.
Yeah.
All those days you are there, but you can see that, yes, this guy just take, without even like 10 years in somewhere, but you've been there for almost 50 years. We don't know how many years now.
We stop counting.
If that, they can't, but up to now, you cannot get it right. You see?
Yeah.
These are a fundamental question which we have to ask ourselves, even our Namibian government, because some ministries and some other people, they've been in the government. They're supposed to know exactly what is supposed to be happening, but it's not happening because it's what I'm telling you, that now we are looking at Meme. Why she put a strong word that, you know, we have to, our raw material have to be done in Namibia.
Yeah.
Then the secondary product can go out. But when you are giving a lithium, a green light to be shipped out, what are you telling us?
Yeah.
Because now that mine ministry is in under your office.
Yeah.
They need to explain to us.
There need to be a change of policy. It's not just about, you know, and this is not just about talk.
Talk is cheaper, but if Nekundi can do it with the Minister of Transport.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Why she cannot do the same?
We need a policy that changes how the business, that is not business as usual.
That's why if you go to even Havana, from Havana to Auschwitz, or maybe Khotob, everybody's talking about Nekundi.
And Sangwasa.
And just, don't forget. Everybody's talking about those two. What about, where's the others?
All right.
Is the thing, my friend. Yeah. Okay, have a good one, my friend.
No, same to you, man.
All right.
Talking is cheap. It's very cheap. It's easy. You can pick up the mic and tell people, yes. We don't want that. We don't want that. We want what? But, you know, it's always difficult when it comes to implementing that. And that's a challenge that facing the majority of leaders and countries like Namibia. So, yeah, the platform. I was talking about quickly just before we come to the end. So it's also talking about the infrastructure and smart financings, where they think of, what is that? They also talk about asset recycling. And I gave an example of, selling off stuff like bridges, to fund the new build. And we look at Senegambia Bridge. Gambia got its 104 million back to reinvest. So, and I said Namibia could actually do that with some of our infrastructures, maybe like ports and things like that. And then we get that cash to invest it to something else. But so asset recycling is like a financial trick, if you want. Okay. Sell what you have got, so you sell what you have to got, what you already have got, to build something new, you know? So you sell to a private company or to private investors, to build something new. So Gambia pulled it off with the Senegambia bridge, turning, 104 million asset into a fresh cash for other priorities. So, yeah, it's a clever way to stretch resources, but it takes careful planning to make sure it actually pays off. Okay, so yeah, when it comes now to platform like the U.S. Africa Business Summit, it's always something, I think, welcome. And Namibia, we need jobs, we need bigger slice of the pie, so investment and fair trade can really get us there. So we need that. So yeah, Africa is ready to ditch, apparently. So the Africa is, they are ready. I don't want to be, you know, it's not me who's saying this. I don't want to misrepresenting them. So Africa is ready to ditch the aid crashes. You know, those aid crunches and run with trade. We are ready. So they said Africa is ready. You know, as I said, I reserve my comment on that. So they are ready to ditch the aid crunches and run with trade and integrations and infrastructure. But the U.S. has to meet us halfway. They need to meet us halfway, cut their tariff, you know, bring the cash in investment, and see us as partners and not projects, you know. So they shouldn't just see us as project, but they must see us as partners. And that's what the Africans are asking. So see us as partners, not as projects. So yeah, our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 6 minutes for you to come through if you have if you want to contribute, and if you want to quickly share, you know, share on anything that we have covered today, or anything related to what we have covered today. So you're most welcome. So our telephone number 08111-08333-66091. So 08333-66091. You still have about 5 minutes before we come to the end of our program. So, and today is Monday, and we have the Monday edition of The Villager. It's out already, and you please subscribe. I'm not gonna, you know, tell you in details what are the leading stories in there. So I'm just giving you an appetite, just to appetite you, to tell you what are the inside stories in today's The Villager. So for you to make sure that you subscribe to get your own copy. I got mine. This is mine. I'm actually reading it from mine, you know. So all what you need to do is subscribe, and then you receive yours, like I do. So yeah, making the front page is the story that we covered. And really, so now go into that as well. So the bycatch threatens pitcher to recovery. That's a story we unpack this morning. And yeah, other stories that are in inside stories that you can find in today's edition. We have the aquaculture farmer achieves harvest of 4,500 fish. 4,500 fish. Johannes Shuya, this is a story by Lois Shimi. Johannes Shuya, known as Ntinelago, an aquaculture farmer residing in Utapi, celebrated a successful harvest of approximately 4,500 fish from his pond last Friday, marking an improvement compared to last year yield. So, makwenyovo, toshalapo. And the other story is the 2025 Global African Hydrogen Summit. Balls get rolling. So Namibia, and this is a story by HT, Hende Walenga. Namibia will be home to the Global African Hydrogen Summit once more from the 9th to the 11th of September 2025, following the inaugural summit last year in Windhoek. So book those dates, put them in your calendar. So from 9 to the 11th of September, the Hydrogen Summit will take place in Namibia. So Namibia has become a place of destiny, a destination when it comes to many of big events. So yeah, and that's put us on the map. It really put us on the map. We want that. That's what we're looking for. So, and there's something that we're doing right. I think that we should be really proud of other, maybe NDB, NIDP, NIDB, NIPDB. So maybe they are doing their work and other ministries that are responsible for that. So, yeah. The netball professionalization, a pilot project enters the final leg. That's other stories that you can get in the inside stories. And NetBank conclude funding deal with Trollop contractors. So you can read that as well. And there's also an opinion piece by Elani Rousseff, Elani Rousseau. I thought she was a Russian, so that's why I said Rousseff. So will millennials in Namibia retire comfortably? So that's the question. And if you want to find out, do subscribe. And then you definitely will read that for yourself. An opinion piece there by Elani Rousseau. All right. And basically, that's bring us to the end of our Unpacking the Day episode for today. Our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And that's bring us to the end. And I just wish you to continue listening to Eagle FM. There are so many. We always have a full-packed day with programs with so much to digest, to learn, to be informed, and to be educated. This is a university on its own, you know? Yeah. So someone said it's actually, it's a university, you know, that you go through classes, you know, throughout the day. So, well, continue to listen to Eagle FM, and coming up is Helmut with Mind the Gap. And thanks for those who contributed on the show this morning. And, you know, as listeners of the show, what you need to do, you know, just pass that to someone, and then to someone, and that someone to someone, and that someone to someone. So that's how we then make a difference. Until then, my name is Michael Chiavelli. Until tomorrow, it's goodbye.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Shikao shafa sana na alongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao
ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshefa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahi tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response.